Matthew chapter 21. It is a privilege to meet these folks and be around them.
That's right.
We actually got to hang out, 2 days, wasn't it, last week? Amen. And or was it 3? Did you go to that thing Monday?
No.
Oh, you didn't know about it?
I didn't.
If I didn't, I'd have told you. It's on the other side of Columbia down there. But the only catch is our crazy house is down there. They may have kept you. I don't know. You just never know. I was thinking about half of y'all when I was driving by that place the other day. And as we get into Matthew chapter 21 tonight, we've already been in this chapter. You know the theme is Jesus is reaching Jerusalem here. And as he gets there, he comes in and he's, of course, dealt with some people already. And we're going to pick up in verse 23 down to verse 27. Said, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want us to look at tonight about overcoming the critics. Overcoming the critics. You may not even know this, but you got some critics tonight. They don't like how you look. They're critical of what you wear. They're critical of how you talk. They're critical of everything you do. But you're not the only one. The rest of us is going through it. The Lord went through it, and he gave us the shining example about overcoming the critics. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and God, we thank you. Lord, we pray, God, that you'd help us tonight as we look at the Word of God. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, that you'd show us this book by the Holy Ghost power tonight. Lord, pray not you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and for our sake. Amen. As we look tonight, there are some barriers that literally can be overcome in your lives that will help you overcome the critics. I think the best response to a critic I've ever heard in my life was Dr. Seitler said years ago, never waste a stamp or a dime on a telephone. Somebody knows what that means. To answer a critic. People get paid to criticize. There used to be these two guys, I want to say it's Siskel and Ebert, they had the thumbs up and thumbs down whether they liked a movie or not. But we got more Siskel and Eberts in the pew now than we ever had. People close to us. Well, you know, you just get through preaching your first message, one loves you most comes to you and goes, you bomb out one Sunday morning, you think you do, everybody comes by you going, you know. You'll live or die. Listen, you can live or die by that, or you can overcome by what the Lord gives us. The first barrier he sets forth that you've got to overcome, and he's letting them set it up in front of you so you can overcome and see how powerful he is bringing you through these things. The number one barrier is going to be enemies. So I ain't got no enemies. I politic with everybody. People hate your guts. Are you kidding me? I've seen preachers in this town try to make it. Well, they don't want to make nobody mad. They want everybody to like them. They want everybody to make sure they like them, especially the high tithing crowd and all this other stuff. And they'll go out of their way making sure nobody dislikes them or has any ill will towards them. And people hate their guts despite all that. You've got enemies. But the best thing I can tell you tonight is you are known by the friends and enemies you have. And if these enemies are constantly criticizing and attacking the Bible and criticizing and attacking godly people and the things of God, if you're not enemies of them people, you're playing for the wrong team. See, the one thing, according to verse 23, what starts out says, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Now watch this. They interrupted Sunday school for this. By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Now, one crazy thing about this, you see the word authority over there, and by what authority? What authority? You ever open up your Bible? The Bible you got, the Bible we have here, and it's not a King James Bible. It's the, listen to this, the authorized version. We call it the King James Bible, but it's the authorized version. I have no problem calling it the King James Bible. These critics of the Bible, your enemies, will say, now, we're going to call it the King James Version. It's not authorized. It says in front it's authorized. According to all your church bylaws across America, we see the words, the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, and they'll identify this one. Or they'll identify some lost pile of papers nobody's ever seen before. And say, or my favorite, for the English-speaking people. No, this is the Bible for the world right now. Amen. If I was a missionary and I went out to a foreign land, they didn't have a Bible, I'd translate them one. I know you two lazy out playing golf and everything and doing all that to get something done like that, but it can be done. Yes. I read one time that a man said that preaching through books of the Bible helps the church. It helps build the faith and the most holy faith of people. But it takes time to do that, and it takes a lot of work. Now you know why people don't do it. They'd rather grab a sermon outline out of the sword of the Lord and hope nobody else read the paper this week rather than get along with God and find out what God wants them to do. I've had critics of mine tell me, well, your church is cut and dried because you preach through Bible books. You're going to pick up where he left off. That's how God wrote it. I have no problem doing it like this. I like that way a whole lot better than the way I was doing it. You know, look here. Watch this. Turn to Double I Kings, you know, that type of thing. Double I Chronicles, have you say that, see? But I look at this stuff and I see they hate the authorized version. They hate it. So how do you know they hate it? I've read the literature. I get sent that literature that they're coming out with a new one and a better one and more closer to the original language and all this other stuff. And they hate this book. Yes, sir. They grew up under this book because when they quote the Bible, they quote this book off the cuff, unless they got a teleprompter in front of them. For God so loved, back it up. So, I wouldn't sit under a preacher with a teleprompter. I'd be too reminded of somebody else in another state right now. And that state is confusion, by the way. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm looking at enemies. They hate the authorized version. What authority you do these things? Listen, when you come to the Word of God and you see that you have that they hate the authorized version, it's because they hated the author. These men don't work for God. These chief priests and elders, they do not care a thing about that. What they hate the most is they're losing converts that's following him. They went to Sunday school. You know why they was at Jesus' Sunday school? Because they showed up, none of their people was there, and wondered what happened to them. Somebody said, I believe Jesus has all of them down there with him. He wasn't in a preaching setting. He's in a teaching setting. What was he doing? Teaching people. What were they doing? Taking it in. They're getting fed the Word of God. They were starving to death the week before. Now they're getting fed the Word of God. They hate the author. They hate his guts. They don't want to do what he says. And that bunch in Old Testament over here that said that, give us the law, Moses, tell God to give us some rules. We'll follow them. God said, I'll give them to him, but you will never follow them. And we have to wait all the way into the New Testament to find out what them rules was for. They wasn't to tell you how to live. They was to show you was lost and to bring you to Christ that you might be saved. These priests and rabbis over the years in the Jewish religion, they get to the point, they come over there and they see the offerings in Leviticus and they learn how to lay the thing out there and do all this, but they're hypocrites because nobody does that stuff anymore. Listen to this. Their excuse is that we don't have a temple right now. It didn't seem to bother Moses they didn't have one built, did it? They just kept building one, tearing it down, taking it here, building it again, tearing it down, taking it. Would you like to live 40 years like that? If I didn't know better, he'd have been in the U.S. Army the way he moved so much. Had to get a new place every time, right? But listen to this. I look over this text, and I see it was the chief priests and the elders of the people. They came to him. They hated him. They hated his authority. But here's something for you. They hate his followers, too. If they know you're following Jesus Christ, if you mention his name, you'll hear something bad come out of their mouth. I'm talking about religious people. Now. I'm not talking about, listen, if you go downtown here and you find all these people say, well, y'all are having a Christmas thing tonight, having that, and you're all this other stuff. Well, let's put them in their cars. They can roll up the window in case them street preachers show up, or then people handing out them little pieces of literature show up. We can't have that. You hate his followers, don't you? You tell everybody you're a Christian, and you don't even know what that word means. The word means you're following Christ. That means you get together and follow Christ. You're with a certain group of people that believe that by grace of God they got saved, and they want to propagate the Lord Jesus Christ to people and not some religion. Here a while back, a church in town had been picking up our tracks, and they were going to show us how to do it. And I'll never forget, I picked up this full-color brochure telling them about all the programs they had, what time they started, how to get there. We have a church bus and a church van, and we got this and we got that. But there was no plan of salvation or even the mention of Jesus Christ in that whole thing. You're doing it wrong. You're not a vacation hotspot. You're the house of God. You need to quit hating his followers and start loving him, and then you'll love us. Amen. When people do that stuff, I get the funniest feeling that somehow or another, they're trying to build a business rather than build a church. I got into it, man, this week over that build a business. Well, the church is a business. Maybe the church you go to is, but church we don't have a business here. And by that, let me say this. We don't have quotas to meet, production to make, and certain amounts got to come in. Or, oh, my goodness, we're going to start sweating all over ourselves. No, listen, we say we're going to take on missionaries. God will send the money. He always does. Listen, we got to do all this other stuff. We got to pay the power bill. You know what we do? We pass the plate. You know what God does? Encourages people, listen, to give to the work of the Lord, not by constraint, but willingly.
That's right.
And what does God do? Brings in every dime. And I noticed that when you have people who are the enemies of God, they're your barrier, and you can overcome them. You sit there and argue with them all day long, write emails back to them all day long, send text messages back to them and fight them all, or you can go right around them and keep doing something for the Lord. There's a door in the midst of them people. His name's Jesus. Just go through him and go right through them. He's already overcome them. You don't have to put up with them at all. Somebody told me, he said, well, you know, you're a poor little church center. Bless your heart. You ain't got to have it. Oh, bless your heart. Y'all ain't had a pew in 30 years, so I don't want to hear that stuff. That's what they do that in Mississippi, too, where they go up to church and say, bless your heart, hon. Or do I need to take my teeth out where y'all understand me? Listen, I hear them people say, and I picked on Mississippi tonight instead of Alabama. I didn't even hear you say amen. But listen, I notice people do one strange thing. Bless your heart. Your church ain't growing by leaps and bounds. Theirs ain't neither. They got so many songbooks stacked in the choir where they went contemporary. They ain't used the baptistry in 10 years. I remember a pastor friend of mine going through that very thing. Baptistry's falling apart, cracks in the bottom of it, hymn books stacked up 5 feet high. And he said, I'm going to take all them hymn books out and put them somewhere, and we're going to redo this baptistry. He had two families quit over that. How about that? Why do that? That's dumb. We ain't got the money to do that. You only got $100,000 in the bank, I know. I know, times are tight. Boy, times are tight when you got 100 grand in the bank. I don't think I've ever been to a church where we had 100 grand in the bank. I mean, I'm not alone, I guess. We're not alone. Listen to this. How do you overcome these enemies? Authority. You walk right through the door. That's Jesus Christ. Second barrier God shows us that in his text here. Look at verse 24 and 25. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell by what authority I do these things. And strangely enough, he evades their question with a question for the reason of he wants to see where they get their authority from. He says this. Now watch this. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? What's the second barrier? You got enemies. And the second one, you got envy. Do you know why they were showing up here? They showed up on John. They were envious in how to get a crowd the way they got, because the way they did didn't work. Now, our dear brother got up and spoke against contemporary music. He's just in like faith as we are. Except we've been around long enough now that we was contemporary against contemporary in 1995, just like we are in 2020. Now, here's the catch. They'll say, now, wait a minute. If it's 95, it's a new century, new this, new that. Yeah, but it's the same old stuff over and over, ain't it? Back in 1995, there was two books that was recommended to me, and I read both of them. And one of them was called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It was the fad of the day right before What Would Jesus Do? Somebody ain't gonna shout because you wore the bracelet. You might have it on now. And we went through all those things and all that fads and whatnot like now. Our current phase is, our current fad is trying to be a bully with masks and stuff with this COVID-19. And before you come to me and try to straighten me out, you ain't straightening me out. I figured something out a long time ago, about a year ago. If it got out of a grade level 4 bio lab, that piece of paper across your face or cloth ain't going to stop it. You better get your facts straight. Out of courtesy, I'll do that to business owners and things like that. But in my heart of hearts, they know and I know it don't work. 70% of the people, according to the Center for Disease Control, said the people that wear the mask all the time wind up getting it. The people that don't, they're like 3% of them do. Why? They're building up immunity. These other crowds, there's somebody outside. I can't. Oh, mailman touch. Wait an hour before you get it so the germs can die, you know. Ain't that a sight, having your mailman out walking these streets like that with a mask. I walked in the bank the other day wearing that mask, and gone was the picture that said no hoodies and no hats. So I had my mask on, I had my glasses on, and I put my hat on, put my hoodie up, and I walked up to the woman and said, I'll take all you money. She said, I know who you are. I said, you're ruining this. Well, to do that ever since I was a little kid, since the Lone Ranger chased me as I rode away from the thing. She said, you do know there's cameras. I said, yeah, I know there ain't no police coming either, so we're all right. I was so disappointed, you know. And I thought, why couldn't, why, you know, I don't even know where the vault is. I just thought it'd be cool to say it. But listen to this. People all the time get in a mess because of envy. Envy. How'd you get that crowd? What'd you have to do? Tell them you'd give them a hamburger or a hot dog to get them there? Do you pay your members to come? How do you get that crowd, Jesus? John the Baptist, we come there and see you baptized. We know you're baptizing all our people too. Can we get baptized? And then, boy, the preaching started. Ye den of vipers, you know. Been a long time since I heard a preacher preach like that. But I watch this stuff and I see the barrier of envy in people's lives. They look next door and see what they're married to or what they got in the garage and they think, boy, I wished I had that. I read a while back where all these beautiful Hollywood women and all these shows, they get married 5 times before they're 35 years old. You still want to be married to her? Do you imagine what alimony to her would look like? You ever heard of prenuptial agreements? That's why they make them sign all them things. I know this ain't going to be with a year and a half tops. Some of the people you watch in movies are some of the worst human beings in real life. It's crazy. And you want to be like them? You know where they, listen, as you go home to your mobile home tonight, I want to tell you a story to help you out. For every 6 months they have off work, they spend 3 years in a single wide mobile home. Now, granted, they're doing it with $30 million, but they still sleep in the same mobile home like you do because they have to have that set up on the lot. They can't have the mansion on the lot, you know. You still want to be like them people? Overcome that barrier in your life. Somebody pulled up in a new car. Well, bless their heart. They got new car payments. Ain't that how that works? I've told this for years. When I read that Michael Jordan had car payments, I about fell out. Now, granted, he can afford payments on a Lamborghini or a Porsche, but he still got car payments. Well, if I had that kind of money, you'd be in the same kind of shape he's in. You'd be chained to it. A lot of people are envious, and they people live and die over possessions. They see their neighbor get something, they think, we got to have that. We used to have a neighbor that lived right beside us, and then there's a guy lived right in front of us. If that guy bought something, the disabled crippled guy over here in a wheelchair that had Parkinson's would tell his wife, Bo has that, I want one too. She looked at him and said, now, Rayford, there's no reason we should go out and buy a log chipper because Bo has one. I want a log chipper. You will get in that car and go get me one. And she'd go up there to the place and get him one, bring him back, and he'd sit out there, look at it. Then he'd call Bo and say, I got me one too. Craziest thing you've ever seen. Bo come out with a chainsaw one day trimming them trees. And not a chainsaw, but them electric clippers and all. hedge clipper things. I don't know what they are. I don't use them either. But he is out there doing that, and I told Lisa, I said, look out here. Rayford's out there going. Sure enough, the Cadillac left. Few hours later, she come back bringing a box in with electric. I don't know what they done with all this stuff, to be honest with you. I bet when he died, they had so much stuff in his basement, stuff like that, they didn't know how to get rid of it. Lowe's probably don't have the inventory he had. Oh, and don't let Bo pull out that new lawnmower. Oh, no. Envy's killing them. People live in dire possessions. What you got that I ain't got? Well, I'm getting one too. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you really do. Me, can I borrow yours? Because doubtful I'll use it more than one time, and I just ain't in for the investment right yet. But I'd hate to think somebody's envious over what me and my wife has. God bless you. Listen, you can have it if you want it. People live and die over the possession of power that they have. Oh, if I could get my church to do like such and such. I've had these prideful preachers come in here, and they see how we do things here, and they just go back to their church, and they wound up getting run off because they go in there and try to do it like we do it. God told us to do it this way. He used his word to do it, but if you go back and tell them you want it because we got it, they'll run you off. And the reason being, people get envious of this stuff. They envy of power. Listen, some churches, if you tell them, listen, I need you to do such and such, the treasurer will tell you, we can't do that. Treasurer ain't got authority to do that. Treasurer writes checks, keeps up with the balance. Is that right? Yeah. This church, around every church we've ever grown up around here, is deacon-led churches. Oh, if the deacons don't say we do it, we can't do it. Her mother was treasurer. She comes to Southern Baptist Church, one of those type of churches. And she would tell me, she said, no, we can't do that. I said, listen, let me remind you something. I'm the pastor, you the check writer. I don't care if we buying, listen, if we buying hog feed or if we buying pews, write the check. Well, I have to see the deacons. I told her, I'll tell you something. If you see the deacons, because I'm firing you. And she said, why you want to be like that? I thought you loved me. I said, I do, but I want you to do right too. I don't want you to be like everybody else. I know churches where the treasurer runs the church. They desire power. You ain't got to do all that here. Some people want to be the boss at their job. You know why? They want power. And they get it and they think, I took $5 extra an hour and got to put up with this? Can you imagine, as hard as you work now, if you get promoted to the boss, then you got to put up with 10 like you that wants your job? People live and die over envy of power. People live and die over envy of pleasure. A pastor told me a while back, it's been about 5 years ago, the church was getting ready to vote him out, but he knew he had enough people there, but it'd be 3/4 majority on his side that would stand up for him. What they were wanting to vote him out for was all them bad people coming to church and getting that baptistry. They called them dirty pigs and didn't want them in their church. Just so happens he led them to the Lord, baptized them, they was doing well, their life had changed because of Jesus Christ and the Lord was blessing. But the day it came to vote him out, all of them had to either go up to the mountains or down to the beach. Now, if my pastor told me they're going to pull this junk, I'd have been there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, making sure they didn't. It's crazy. Don't act like that. People get so hung up on pleasure. Well, I got revival scheduled next week. Well, preacher, you know we're going out of town on vacation. No, I didn't know that. Funny how you didn't. I've been announcing this stuff for 2 months. All of a sudden, you telling me you can't be here because of vacation. Your priorities are wrong. Well, I couldn't get that week off for work, and you know, you scheduled revival that week. Well, then unschedule your vacation schedule some other time. You don't have to go, listen, you don't need to go down there to the beach during the summer. They make beaches in the winter, too, where you can go down there, and it's the same temperature. The only thing difference is, instead of a bunch of young kids running around naked, you got a bunch of old people trying to beat you in the restaurants. And I ain't never met one in my wheelchair can't outrun. I'm telling you, friend, God bless your heart. You can go to these places and try to chase. Well, such and such is going the week of the fourth. I got to go, too. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, we've always went on the 4th of July. You don't have to go now. Me and my wife, we got ready to get when we first got married. We was going to go on our honeymoon and everything. I gave her the best honeymoon a man could, at my income, could afford. I gave her a $250 a night motel room with all the trims and fixings. And every morning she'd wake up, she'd roll her side of the bed and look out, and there was the ocean coming in, all that smell of that air and all that. What are y'all looking at? Y'all didn't do the same? Now, here's the catch. Is at the end of October, we paid $25 a night for that $250 motel room. We was poor is what I'm getting at. But I lavished her with the best motel room and all that. Why? I love her. But we was getting married in October, not in summer, nothing like that. But listen, if we'd got married on the 1st of July, we'd not went down there and paid $250. And that's 1991 prices. Can you imagine what they are now? I go in there, I tell them old people, get out of my way. I try to get my wife a room here for $25, you know. And they always from up north, too, by the way. We're from the Bronx. Where are you from, dear? All around here. And they pick up on it right away. But you don't have to chase pleasure. That becomes a barrier to you. It's envy that's keeping you and Jesus apart. But he did provide a door. You know what the door is? Himself. Walk right through it. You don't have to sit on this side and debate with yourself. You can walk right through the door. He's the door still. I noticed that humility is how we overcome envy. Authority is how we overcome enemies. And the third barrier that's put up in front of us, look at verse 26. The Bible says here, but if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. They hold John as a prophet. Here's the barrier we can't get around, is the explanation. Did they fear the people? Pilate said, who would you have me crucify? Oh, give us Barabbas, you know. He didn't want to give Barabbas, but he wouldn't make the decision because he feared the people. They wouldn't say about John the Baptist because they feared the people. And the explanation of this barrier is this. You can either trust God by faith and go right by this barrier, or you can stay on this side of it all your life, never get nothing done for the Lord. When I look at the barrier that's put up here of the explanation, they didn't even try to figure it out. They just sat there and, we can't say nothing. And Jesus is like, well, neither do I tell you. Because he knew what they were. Unlike you, he really did know their thoughts. But I see the explanation standing in between them and going on for the Lord. Is that standing between you and him tonight? Well, if I just had a study Bible where it explained every verse at the bottom of the page, I'd read the Bible all the time. If they had a book like that, it'd be so thick it'd stretch from here to Mars. And how far is Mars away? More than a day's drive, right? You can't even handle this much Bible. Imagine if you had one with a study Bible that like that. But I got news for you. You do have one like that. It's already in here. It's not in your head. It's in your heart. Everything God wants you to know, he'll show you if you ask him. Well, if I just had, you know what I used to see all the time preaching? I can't stand this stuff. People would bring in a study Bible, and I'd be preaching, they'd be going, trying to find out what the study Bible, I almost said Schofield, what the study Bible says, or what I said was right. Well, I got news for you. Me and Dr. Schofield are wrong about a lot of things. Me and Dr. Frank Thompson disagree on some things. Me and Charles C. Rivery disagree on things. And if you actually read that thing, you would too. They were men on their best day. On their best day. Good men, but men that can make mistakes and be wrong. The problem we seem to keep running to is the same one. We got to have an explanation for everything. You know why people have such strange beliefs? They can't just say, God, I trust you, and when you show me, I'll be okay. No, they got to figure everything out on their own. I've met some brilliant people in the ministry. And when they'd get up to preach, they'd say something so off the wall, I thought, there's no way they believe that as smart as they are. But they did. They'd have an explanation for everything. If you'll learn that God will give you this book in time, you'll be okay. But it may not be the book or the timing that's wrong. If you hold your place here, we're going to come back over here. Look over at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. It may not be the explanation you're looking for tonight, but I'm going to give you the best one. God says to interpret scripture with scripture, let the light shine on the light. If you study the Bible very long, you're going to realize every verse, every passage, every chapter in the Bible has one interpretation. Then you got an explanation. Then you make many applications of the thing. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 13, he's going to quote Moses here. He says, as it is written in the law, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. Now, listen to this. In that verse, he's talking about how they got to where they was because they forgot God back in Jerusalem and God had them hauled off to Babylon. And here's the crazy thing. They were there 70 years in Babylonian captivity. They were there exactly 70 years for one reason. That's how many Sabbaths they missed back over in the Promised Land. God held them a year for each one. And these people talking about, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I worship on the Sabbath. How many of you missed in your life? Well, that don't count. Yeah, it kind of does. If you miss one, it counts. Remember, you're working your way to heaven over there if you're one of them people. You're trying to take the place of a Jew. God's already rejected you for that. The Sabbath's a sign between him and the Jew, not the seventh-day disadvantage in you. Listen to this. He points out that verse 13. He said, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. Daniel was reading Jeremiah when he saw all this stuff. He said in first verse of that chapter, he said, I was learning by the books, and he quotes Jeremiah over there. Jeremiah's the prophet. Now watch this. He said, before the Lord our God, and it says a comma there, he said, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. It may be that the explanation is eluding you because you have sin in your life and you're holding on to that iniquity and God won't show you nothing else till you let go of it. Well, I'm going to get me in commentary set. That won't help you. You know what a commentary set means? That means I got more chances to be wrong than right. I read them too, and I'm going to tell you something. They're wrong about a lot of things. And when they said a better word should be, they're wrong right there, and probably everything past that point is going to be their opinion. Yeah. And it's based on a dictionary, listen to this, that was put together by men who corrected the Bible. And those men got their definitions from Greek literature instead of a holy Greek New Testament they claim they follow. You'll hear these guys wax on John 21. There's three Greek verbs there. The lovest thou me. Well, first you're saying that. And they'll point out four of them, four versions of the word love in Greek. The fourth one's never been in the Bible. You know what's wrong with them? It's eros for erotic. There's the problem right there. What are they holding on to? Iniquity. Why are they giving that kind of an explanation? Because God won't let them see what it says. Listen. You'd have a five-year-old child and tell them, did you see Peter deny the Lord them three times? Well, we sure did. But you go back over and say, did you see where he said this three times? Oh, yeah. Every step you take away from God, you got to take a step back. And that five-year-old will say, I see that. Yet the seminary-educated 24-year-old reverend, if I can use that word lightly, will come up and say, well, that's not what it says in the Greek. You don't know what it says. You don't read Greek. You're kidding yourself. You may have learned the alphabet, you may have learned the words, but you do not know that language. You don't think in that language. I go up to Gus up at Pete's, I said, Gus, what do you think the Greek means this thing? He says, exactly what it says. They're not stupid. English is their second language. They're not dumb people. They'll tell you, as a matter of fact, listen, I worked for a Greek man one time. I said, which is the Bible for English? He said, King James Version. Are you stupid? Talking about tack, boy, he had some, didn't he? I thought about that and thought about that. If a Greek guy that can speak Greek, read Greek, write down Greek, says that's the Bible, there must be something to that. Then you come up with the occasionally cemetery-educated Greek and say something different. But listen, the guys that read the Bible every day, that's what they say. Here's something to overcome about that. You may not need the explanation because you ain't got right with God yet. You ever heard somebody been backslid on God a number of years, tried to tell you what the Bible says, and they're completely wrong? There's a reason it's eluding them. God won't give it to them. He won't even let them understand it till he comes to him for forgiveness. Well, if I could understand the Bible more, I'd get me one of them King James. You can. You just need to get rid of that iniquity of the fact you don't think God can keep a book. I know preachers in this town who have dropped their brain somewhere and said, well, I don't believe God can do that. Let me get this right. You believe that God, out of nowhere, created everything you see, especially just this planet, and it's water and mud and all that, and put it together with a ball of fire in the middle of it, and you believe that it don't just crumble and just drift away? You believe God hold that together? Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it ain't the gravity that holds us, it's Jesus that keeps it together. Without Jesus, this world would fall completely apart. We'd drift off and be an asteroid somewhere. You believe God can do that? Do you believe it? I ain't talking to them, I'm talking to people here. Y'all believe that, right? God keeps this ball of mud with this three-fourths water with fire in the middle of it and wind whooping around it all the time and these crazy people blowing each other up on it. I watched the video of that thing overseas, that bomber. How does the planet hold together with all that going on? Somebody's keeping it. You believe God keeps that, right? You believe that when God saved you, he saved you through eternity. You've never seen God, and if you say you do right now, you're a liar because God said you would be. You've never seen him, but you think he saved you, but you've never seen him. And you believe that God saved you for a time length called eternity? You believe that? And you've never even been to eternity. You've never even had a watch that long. You believe that, right? Amen. And you believe God can't keep one book and preserve it?
That's right.
Your faith is based entirely upon sight. I looked at this whole issue back years ago and I found out one thing. There's one side over here that's not, that they're multi-version only, and one side over here says, we believe God can keep this book. I know which team I play for. So how do you propose us to believe that? How many versions you heard me quote tonight? I don't believe in versions. I believe in the Bible. So what made you believe like that? The first time I figured out that 12 went to 14, they wasn't to 13. That's the first clue. I read the thing. Unlike these other people saying, well, I understand the NIV better. It's fourth grade. No, you don't understand nothing. You've heard somebody tell you that, and you sit there and say that, yet your NIV stays in the car more than it stays in the prayer closet. That's why you can't get away from that thing. It's got you. You ain't got it. Well, I'm from seminary, and I have a seminary education. And now they taught us in the Greek that blah, blah, blah. I went to seminary, too, and I figured out something while I was there. There's one line of text out of Antioch, Egypt, or Antioch, Syria over there, up this way, and that was one line of text. There's another text out of Alexandria, Egypt. You go to the Bible, remember your source, the final authority of faith and practice, everything that comes out of Egypt heads towards Rome. There has to be 7 hills up there, right, or 7 churches on 10. You see all that stuff? You see a ship leaving there, it shipwrecks on its way to Rome, and another ship picks it up. That's called the Bible of the Month Club right there. All their manuscripts come out of down in Alexandria of Egypt, and they all are spurious and don't have a complete manuscript, but the two best ones, one's in the Pope's library, another one's found in the trash can. And you're telling me that's what you follow? Well, the oldest and best text, well, that's the Vaticanus, Vatican, Sinaiticus, that's Tischendorf's text. And listen to this. When that one come out, the Pope come out and say, oh, I got one too, right here. And they disagree with 3,000 places to each other, and they disagree from their book to book in it. That's your crowd? You can have them. I read where God said he'd inspire this book, where God said he'd preserve this book, and if he preserves it, it's not double inspiration, it's the same inspiration. Because God said, how many words were inspired? All scripture. Thus saith the Lord. Well, I just don't believe we can have... Well, you believe what you want to. But what you're losing on the explanation. You're letting somebody tell you what God says rather than let God tell you what God says. And your disobedience unto the Lord of the Bible you do know is keeping you out of the rest that you could know. Again, it's simply this. An explanation is a barrier. God shows the truth to the obedient believer. He uses the truth in obedient believers because Psalm 119, if you happen to believe this book, is the longest chapter in this book, and it's about this book. And he says, order my steps in thy word and let not that thing in Daniel 9:13, iniquity, have dominion over me. God wants to guide you by your word, by his word in your life, so you have the explanation from him and you won't require it of nobody else. When people come up and say, well, I wished I could just believe that, you can. You can. You can believe that if you want to. Problem is you're choosing the other road. Listen, next time you pull up the road and your wife says, I think we need to go left, and you said, I'm going right, you might be in the wrong, pal. Because while you over thinking, she's over there looking at a GPS, she already knows, and she's going to let you mess up. Get a picture of that. God does the same thing to you. He does. You know why he does that? Because he's trying to get in your head, he's the explainer, not you. And if the explanation eludes you, it's God that's getting out of your way. I notice that God commands the truth to be given by believers to the lost people. You know how much God's against this contemporary stuff? Listen to this. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas roll into town. And here comes a cheerleader for Jesus. Devil possessed she was about her. So she come up and starts saying, these men are the men of the Most High God. And Paul listened to her do this stuff. Maybe the thought ran across his mind. Well, Jesus said if they're for us, against us, they're preaching the same thing. Maybe that ran across his mind, but he didn't have her in mind when he said it. She was a fortune teller. And she gained those people money by that ill-gotten devil that was in her. Then one day Paul gets tired of rock and roll for Jesus, rock and roll for Jesus, and says, just gets promises, devil, get out of her in Jesus' name. There went the fortune telling. And who'd they get mad at? You'd have think they'd say, we're going to give you a key to the city because that girl was possessed of a devil. No, they put them in jail. Yes, whooped them and put them in jail. And God's sitting back going, tell you what I'm going to do. How about we do this? Place is shaking, all the prisoners are loose. They're singing Amazing Grace of Paul. That's why they didn't leave. So it hadn't been written yet. That's what you think. I happen to have the originals back in my office that said it did. That's how y'all do with the Bible in it. That's what they do. You know what God did? God just simply commanded the truth to be given out by believers, not unbelievers. Paul got rid of that devil out of that girl. They lock him up, and it didn't seem to stop what he was doing. They were supposed to have a service that night. Instead, they got to have it in chains. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. They start singing. The gates, listen, the chains fell off them men. The jailer come in there to kill himself, because back in those days, if a prisoner escaped, it didn't make the news. They just killed the jailer. He said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And the strangest thing out of that man's mouth, the next thing was the question, sirs, how can I be saved? Here's the most simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that guy gets saved. He not only got saved, he got so saved, he took him home, fed him a steak dinner. It says that in the Greek, by the way, too. He fed him a steak dinner, got out there and led the whole family to the Lord. And they said, can we baptize? They said, sure. You might. 3-4 o'clock in the morning. But you know what nobody's ever brought up before, never even thought about? Who was watching the convicts while this is going on? Jailers left. Let's take them off, man. They're so moved by it, they didn't go nowhere. Jailer comes back. Paul and Silas come back. And they say, well, they found out that since you're a Roman citizen, we got to let you go. You know what he said? He just said, I'm glad this horrible night's over. We was praying and fasting. No, he said this, tell them to come let me loose. Yeah. How about that? Start off, that's whooping them. Now he's whooping them with not even touching them. See, the explanation will elude you if you're trying to get it from man. You got to get it from God. How do you overcome with that thing? Obedience is how we overcome. Listen, the Bible tells us, we read this in Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors in who? What's the name right behind that one? Christ Jesus our Lord, right? How do you overcome? Call your insurance company, hedge your bets. Make a bet with the insurance company. I think I'm going to die in the next 10 years. I'll say, we'll take that bet. What are you waiting? What's your? Okay, we'll take that bet. We'll even double it. They're bookies. You did know that, right? We try to get insurance on handicap. He's, oh, well, we have a policy and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we'll do that. But it'll cost you $1,000 or $2,000 a month. Yeah, I bet it would. And listen to this. They're so wicked, they've got your government saying if you don't have it, you can't have a license on your car. How about that? And you don't even gamble, do you? You'd never be found a casino, nothing like that. But now you got to do that because now there's laws on it. Do you need an explanation for that? Of course you don't. By faith, you'll take everything they say. Not even have a good word about it. They said, we got to do this. I found out who they are. It's three guys in an apartment in New York City, and two of them's already moved out because they got rid of the police. What about it? A city of how many? 600 million and 300 million of them took off? They didn't need no explanation. They just by faith sojourned to a country, didn't they? Listen to me. You're sitting here tonight. How do you overcome? How do you overcome? Do you call all your friends and these preachers, you say, well, I've talked to the men in the church and all of them says do it this way. That's what he said. How'd that serve you? You got a bunch of people hard-headed like you agreeing with you. You ought to leave what it is. Well, I talked to my wife. Is she your authority? There's some men right now won't even preach because their wife won't let them. And if you're like that, bless God, you probably shouldn't preach because she'll end up pastoring the church in place of you. We've got people nowadays, unless they have everything set in front of them, they won't even go out and do anything for the Lord. Brother Coker, it's amazing that men around here will take a church that has $200,000 a bank, buy them a brand new car every year, pay them about $7,000 a month, and they are just woefully, lowly servants of the church. Bless your heart, you've never done nothing by faith. Because what you're going to find out is when you get in there, like one of these hirelings did here, everyone you go in like that, you wind up with our attendance when you get done. On you. God's got a sense of humor. I know one that used to do an anti-King James Bible conference here. He was afraid I was going to ruin people. What, getting to believe one book? It was good enough for George Washington to be first president of this country. Honest Abe only had one Bible. I mean, you know, them guys. And what was you saying again? I don't want people to be wrongly led. Wrongly led? You yoked up with the Roman Catholic Church and I'm wrongly leading somebody? Give me a break. Amen. You following up a bunch of devils on TV and I'm leading somebody wrong? You've got to be out of your mind. But I look at these people that he said, well, you know, he's at one church a year and a half. He's at another church. Listen to this. He's in another church near one of our deacons. One of the deacons had to drive by his church, get here. He'd tell me every week as one thing kept happening. They were growing the opposite way. So he leaves that and come takes one up here. And the thing splits the second week he's there. He fired him because the guy wouldn't do what he said. You are in insubordination. I'm going to fire you. Bless your heart. Insubordination. Did you have to look that up in the dictionary to find out what that meant so you'd have a reason to fire that guy? And they'll go do that junk. Then the church split again. He began putting out resumes like you play playing cards. Y'all don't play cards. I know. I'm like the wicked people do. And he put out them resumes and nobody bit. I was at a funeral with a guy. I heard him ask the pastor over the church with the graveyard. He said, brother, he said, you got any churches you recommend me to? I said, hey, wait a minute. That ain't what you preached a while ago. You was telling everybody here by faith you got to follow God. Now you politicking with Dr. such and such over here? Well, you know, God leads people. Okay, God leads people. But I notice everyone in the Bible, he tests them with a famine. Everyone. But the craziest thing happened. They call up here and want a recommendation for a pastor to the church. Rather than pass it along to that old man that needed it, he went and took the church himself. You'll never believe this. Y'all sitting down good. Brother Fain, $100,000 a year salary at that place he went to. You about to fall out now? I'm glad you was. I fell out when I heard it. I couldn't believe somebody couldn't preach your way out of a wet paper bag is getting paid that much a year to preach. So that's judgmental. You're right. Independent judgmental Baptist. That's me. I can't help it. But I seen that thing. I asked somebody went to his church. I said, how long did it take for him to leave? They said, oh, he went and preached a trial sermon on Sunday, was resigning Wednesday and moving on Thursday. Wow. You know, if I believe by faith all that stuff, I just stayed where I was and waited for the $100,000 to come this way. How do you overcome? Chase rabbits? Chase fairy tales? Or do you overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you more than conqueror? Or are you one of them people that's held up by one of these barriers? They're keeping you back from God. So I'm trying to get along with everybody. God will keep you hunting barriers until you surrender to him and go through that one door, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.